Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back here on the Film Guy Network for a fabulous local hour. It is a load of local hour. Before you leave, you folks that only watch the national, make sure you hit that thumbs up button on your way out. We appreciate you being here tonight. We've had some great numbers over the last several days. Let's keep it up. All right, and the way to do that is to hit that thumbs up button. We got presser notes today. We're going to map out the best case scenario and worst case scenario for Saturday. What are some reasons Georgia fans should be worried? Players who will have massive opportunities in this football game. Don't like to guarantee a blowout.
Yeah.
Probably going to play Johnny Holstaff in this football game, I would imagine. And what should you expect to see on Saturday other than some swamp ass?
Oh, you will see that.
Oh, you buddy. If you're dumb enough to wear khakis on Saturday, that's on you.
Yeah, I don't.
That's
I don't
on
know.
You. What am I? I got no, you know, qualms about you. I don't feel sorry for you. You out here walking around with the swamp ass because you decided to wear khakis. It's like wearing khakis to a golf course. Why? Why would you ever do that?
I do want to ask you about this since you weren't here to talk about it with us, about Xavier McLeod no longer being with the football program. Do you have anything that you want to add to that conversation?
No, everyone I called about it was like, no comment, can't talk about it.
Okay.
Makes sense.
There don't know. Go. That normally doesn't mean great things.
Yeah.
But you got to, yeah, that's true. He's not with us. Can't talk about it further. Okay, coach, appreciate you. I got to go. Click.
Now, a couple of those the went. Players were asked about today, were they not?
They were, and we'll get into that when we start doing these presser notes. But, yeah, no, I mean, it was something that was obviously brought up and talked about to the players.
Interesting.
Best of wishes to him. We love X. That's kind of how that went, I would imagine.
Kind of in that line. But
okay. But no details as to what went on?
No, we did not get any evidence to it, so.
All right. Where do y'all want to start? I guess let's do player pressers.
Yeah, we got two players.
After you hit that thumbs up button, of course. Yes. But yeah, let's do player pressers.
We got two players today. We started the afternoon with Elijah Griffin. The first question he was asked, obviously, as some member of
that's
the
his first time.
I think it is. There was the murmurings of that in the room, like, "Oh, we finally get Elijah Griffin." Very good personality on the Kirby Smart scale. I'd give him about a 3.5. Still very much personality. Still, you know, giving some answers, kind of even stepped over his words when talking about the Xavier McLeod situation. So that was the first question he's asked of, hey, when this happens, how do you step up? Who has to step up? Who are these types of things? Do you have any comments on it? And of course, you know, he gives a very surface level answer. We're taking it day by day. We have to collectively strive for greatness each day. All of that fluff. He was asked, did he know about this beforehand? Was this something you were aware of, or did coach come and have a meeting, or did, you know, Xavier pull you aside? And he said, I probably found out the same time you guys did. So that was all kind of handled by coach. Whether or not he's telling the truth.
I'm calling cap. No way. No way he was scrolling through Twitter, which he probably doesn't have, and like, oh, X isn't with us anymore. Interesting. Highly doubt that.
Yeah, but, you know.
But good PR trained answer.
Sure.
I was just eating the chips. I don't know.
What he said was basically like, you know, that's something that is handled between Coach Smart and him and the staff and all that. I don't know what's going on or what he's dealing with or anything like that. I found out at the same time as you. So very much a hands up, I have no clue approach to the Xavier McLeod situation. Next thing he was asked is, how have you improved? He said, everything is faster. Things come a lot easier. I know what to expect from the speed of the game. Said he lost body fat but did not change his weight. There were some talks of, oh, did you know you lose weight? Did you put on some weight? Has not lost any weight.
I saw people saying he's listed at 305 now, or he said he was 305 now.
Or yeah.
Was, I guess, but now is 305 with less body fat.
I wasn't in the room to confirm, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I did get eyes on him.
Eyes on him. Yeah. Well, we'll get eyes on him soon.
Yeah.
I'll be peeping dudes when I'm out there for the Oklahoma game.
Next question he was asked about is, how do you handle these expectations? You know, five-star kid, a lot of expectations coming in, the prestige of the Georgia defensive line. Said even as a kid, he was the biggest person in the room, so he feels like he's kind of used to it, kind of always having eyes on him. And That's something interesting.
Boys, breaking news. I've got an update.
Oh, yeah?
Quote, any further details on McLeod? Quote, not much to say.
What about Xavier McLeod?
Yeah, yeah. Him too. Not much to say.
I mean, had to
I mean, Jonathan, it's supposed to read like it's spelled, okay? Don't.
You just, the one last time we probably get to talk about Xavier McLeod. Couldn't even get the young man's name
the
right.
The send off to him is, I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
McLeod.
Let's try that again. Got any update on Xavier McLeod? Not much to say.
Gotcha.
Mm.
So it is a not allowed to talk about it.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. I'm just doing my job.
Thank you.
I'm just doing my job. Y'all keep trying to do that. Yours tonight. Yes. Okay.
Well, like we talked about, you know, we said this yesterday. We wish him well, you know, whatever the situation is. All right, moving on. Was asked what the hottest game you ever played in was. I think this would be kind of a
buddy's from Savannah. He's got plenty of these.
I was going to say, he could not. They both drew blanks. Him and Chauncey drew blanks. If I don't remember what the hottest game was. He did mention that any game playing in August in high school was very hot. Savannah, Georgia heat is no joke. The South Georgia is just insane. Pass rush moves that he's worked on. So the Coach Scott builds a new indie plan for him every day. Which is kind of interesting. I don't think people understand how much goes into a new indie plan every single day. There's a very extensive push for that. After that, we're seeing recruits in the air from
That is very unique.
Yeah.
I did the same indies for basically all year as long as we had the same offensive line coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a couple of times we'd like be working on counter under the chute, which is so back-asswards. So I don't even think kids practice under chutes anymore, offensive line-wise. I never see one at Georgia, do you?
Yes, but I think it's just from I don't think it's like a...
I see more linebackers and DBs practicing their shoots at Georgia than offensive
line. That's what I'm saying, like a keeping low. I don't know if it's a...
No, it's not. We play much more with our chest up than flat backs like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Used to is everything was taught flat back, rise upon impact. Nowadays, it's almost like we want to play with some hips and some ass.
Final question we got for Elijah was, what was it like playing against Bo Walker? For those of you who don't know, they played each other in the state championship game. Bo Walker's team won by like 21 points, I believe. So their team was just too fast that day. But Bo is a great person, is ready to take on any challenges that present to him this year, and kind of counted that he is a hard dude to tackle. So bodes well if you're a Bo Walker stock owner this year.
I was at that game. I don't know how they played, though. I guess Savannah Christian did get moved up to a 2A school, and that's how?
Yeah, I mean,
Cedar Grove was a 2A school.
Yeah, they played
that
each other.
That was Bo's junior year.
Correct. This was a while ago.
Yeah, this was a couple years ago. I think that was the game Kirby was at.
Probably.
And I got Lance McCurley, friend of the show, took a photo of Kirby, and I'm in the back with just an absolute hog tater in my mouth, looking like an idiot.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I was back when I was still dipping.
Mm.
Zins weren't a thing at that point, you know.
Zins much more discreet nowadays.
Yeah, honestly, it's why a lot of coaches have quit dipping, but they're just mainlining Zins.
Yeah,
dip's a huge thing in the football world, or it was for the longest time.
I mean, yeah, haven't you seen that clip going around about Buddy from
Coach Bud?
Yeah, from Last Chance U, the infamous clip of him.
No, he's a chewing tobacco guy.
Yes,
not a dip guy. It's two totally different things. Don't
I know? Yeah, but you get the premise, okay? I'm not up to date on my ball knowledge.
One is all juice. It's like the whole entire time you're just spitting buckets of spit.
Yeah, he was
really gross.
The sacred man, the R man.
Yeah.
The man who shall
not. Not allowed to say that.
It's now America's best, I believe.
Mm.
Can't say it anymore.
We had I think I've told this story. I had a teammate in high school whose cheeks were so big. One of the old chewing tobacco companies used to be called Beech Nut. It was the chewing tobacco, Beech Nut.
Yeah.
And my high school baseball coach called that kid Beech Nut because his cheeks were so fat that he looked like he had two big old chunks of Beech Nut in his lips.
Good for him, man.
Cool, Beech Nut!
Yikes. Next player we got, and the only player we got, was Chauncey Bones. And this was funny for me. So, Elijah Griffin, first up to the podium, you know, adjust the mic to his. Chauncey Bowens comes up and the microphone's at his forehead. He has to pull it down. And Liam's like, no, don't touch the mic. He's like, I can't even reach the mic. So that was a little bit funny. Got a good chuckle out of the group.
Did the mic sound ruffled?
Not in studio.
It was tough the other day.
But
Kirby.
Yeah, whoever's got the mixing, that's
now, we're not ones
adjust.
To.
No,
we're not
we
ones
can't
to
be
talk
those
here.
People.
By the way, I would imagine On Three has gone months without audio problems. The moment I stepped in that studio today, Crane & Co. had a... When I went back and watched that today, that's the Brooks Austin audio curse. My bad. Ah. Sorry, boss. That's on me.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, boss. Huh. Go ahead.
So yeah, the first question he's asked, very similar to what was asked of Elijah Griffin. What's the mindset that you go into from that running back room after losing a guy like Dante Dowdell, who's expected to be out for a long period of time? So it's tough, but we've all been putting in work. The young guys have been making leaps and strides. It's kind of a group effort when you lose a player like that. So first answer that he asked, what has been your offseason regimen to resist injury? Chauncey Bowens has been a fantastic running back. His biggest hindrance has been he hasn't been able to be readily on the field as much as he would like to be, or Georgia fans or Kirby Smart would like to be. He says this year he's been making, or this offseason at least, he's been making sure he's doing something every day to recover and improve his body.
I do have a legitimate update from another source if you want it.
Let's hear it.
There's no story here. He legitimately just stopped playing football.
I think that's the best case scenario.
There's nothing to dig in on this. I think he was just done. To do that after fall camp is a little bit crazy.
Yeah, the timing is what threw it all off.
But go run out the tunnel one more time. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit nuts. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. Again, we wish him the best. Bo Walker, impressions of him. Super talented. It was really fun to be around. Bo Walker was kind of the subject of this interview period for a reason. I think that would kind of suggest that the beat might think we know who RB3 is. I don't know. We'll figure it out on Saturday. So
we've known. But go ahead.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we're starting to get the – you can always kind of tell what
Sorry, but I just don't know if Peanut's ever going to be a guy we give 12 totes anyways. We're going to manufacture six explosive opportunities for him, or try to, in every football game, because if we give him six, he might get two explosives, and then that completely changes the game.
Yep.
But I don't know if Peanut is ever going to be a guy where we can go into a fourth quarter and we're up 26 points and we're like, hey – you're getting 16 carries.
Do you think that this is maybe a good comparison of it? Kind of
freshman
Peanut,
James Cook.
No, Peanut kind of reminds me of the early stages of Arian Smith's career, where Arian was just kind of thrown out there. Of hey, he might get two receptions today, but those two receptions might both be for 40 plus yards, and that's kind of how the early stage of his career was. Like if Arian Smith was getting the ball, it was a deep shot for a 50 plus yard play or a touchdown or something along the lines of that. And then Arian Smith became the lead wide receiver on the football team, and it just didn't work out the way that it had previously, and we had a little bit more issues during that time period.
Yeah.
I know with Peanut you're talking about just because, like, our body physically is not prepared for that.
Yeah, I just don't know if we're, like Chat saying, I don't know if we're thick enough to be an every down back.
Yeah, and I mean, I think
I thought coming in he was going to play slot receiver. Sorry, I swear it's the last time I'm cutting.
Sorry, but no, I think that the interesting thing was last year, like, he just disappeared.
Yeah,
and so we'll see what 2020.
To no fault of his own, by the way. Yeah, we've gotten sourced on that. It was just hey, we had to dwindle the rotation. We felt like we weren't getting enough out of anybody because we were trying to get something out of everybody, and that's not a way to go.
Right. Next question he was asking, what's it like playing against Elijah Griffin, a guy that they've had a lot of experience with in
practice?
Stack
the story.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Chauncey and Elijah Griffin didn't play each other.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Bo Walker and Chauncey did. Chauncey said he's the real dude. He's an absolute force. It's tough every time we go against him. So was asked about Jaden Riddell and gave a laundry list of just euphemisms. He's a freak of nature. Revealed that they live together, actually. He's a good roommate. It's nice to see him showing up on the field and getting what he deserves.
Boy, I bet there's not much said in that house. if it's just the two of them, it's a lot of doors being closed.
Sup, Chauncey.
Yeah, sup, Jaden.
That's it.
Well, it's funny, end of speaking inside that house.
It's funny, too, because I think Jed May was the one who asked the question. Chauncey reveals that they live together. And then Jed May goes, oh, what's he like as a roommate? He's like, he's a good roommate.
That means, like, he's quiet, handles his business.
Like, that was the answer we got, so that was funny. What does it take to be a third down back in this offense? You know, what does that look like? Definitely an area I feel like I've grown in, he says. Cash really put us in a good spot. Give a lot of credit to Cash Jones for setting the example of pass pro and being able to run routes and all of that. So that we've all done a good job, though. So a classic Kirby Smart answer. I would rate Chauncey's performance today about a 4.3. Very quiet. Gave a little bit of personality, but at the end of the day, said a lot without saying anything at all. What's that?
Nothing. I'll tell you after this show.
Okay.
It has absolutely nothing to do with our show.
Oh, okay. Nate mentioned yesterday that he was a little bit hurt that Chauncey switched numbers. Was asked about that, like, hey, you know, what's the deal with that? We've heard this story before, but for those who don't remember, Chauncey also lived with Gannon Hurst, who is Garrison Hurst's son, UGA great, wore number five, got his blessing to switch to number five. He wanted to have a number that had a legacy behind it, so he's wearing number five this year. Dwight Phillips got a mention. Dwight Phillips' physical transformation. Said they expect big things from him because of the way he attacks everything that he does. So maybe we see a little bit more of Dwight Phillips this year. I know we just talked about that, so we'll see. He was also asked about what the hottest game you played in is. Said nothing really comes to mind, but the practice in our conditions allows us to train our bodies. So that kind of makes sense, though. If you've had 100 practices in the heat, the games probably don't stick out nearly as much because they're not near as hard.
Yeah, and there's adrenaline's going through your body during games. Your mind's kind of off the temperature a little bit more.
They said something similar on Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've never played a game at Georgia that was harder than practice.
Makes sense. I mean,
I could. The same could attest for me in college, and we didn't practice all that hard.
Well, and like with practice, like you have this mindset of like, you know, it's going to suck. So then you're thinking about all of the things that make it suck. Whereas games, like, you're not really thinking about the bad things about it.
I also thought Nate said it best. He was like, it doesn't matter how good of shape you're in, they're going to do something to make practice suck for you here. You ain't going to be bebopping around with all the juice in the world by the end of this one. They're going to make sure you're in some pain.
Thank goodness I ran all those miles. I'm not feeling any of this.
Final two questions we got for Chauncey was about the tight end room. Said that having a lot of guys is awesome. This was an interesting part, and I think this is the biggest takeaway I had. Them spreading their knowledge has helped the running backs a lot about spacing and timing of routes and things such as that. It's given them a better understanding for not only blocking but pass concepts and makes them better running backs. And then the final one was, hey, what's Kirby Smart like when we're playing against an FCS opponent this week? I think we all know that there's not a whole lot to dig into from an analysis standpoint, from a prediction standpoint. We all know Georgia's going to come out and win this game by multiple scores. What is Kirby Smart like? We treat every day like it's the same. Coach Smart emphasizes that. Bloody Tuesdays are still Bloody Tuesdays. We still practice hard on Wednesdays. So that was a classic Kirby Smart brainwashed answer. And that concludes today's press conference notes.
Thank you, Kirby.
Thank you. Thank you.
Was Leland there?
Leland was there, yeah.
All right. It's a big day. Big day for media availabilities. Sometimes Trey runs the players only.
They're actually both there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Leland's there, Trey's always there. But if Leland's there, Trey's going to be there too. Sometimes Leland's got other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's got to shoo Kirby around wherever he's got going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good stuff right there, Kirby.
Appreciate you.
Where do y'all want to go next?
I think we should probably dive into, you know, mapping out what the best and worst case scenarios are for Saturday. And for by the way, no injuries on worst case scenario. That's not even something we're going to put into
Don't even
ether.
Put it in the ether.
Your Publix doesn't have rain?
I haven't seen it in years, dude.
Man, do you remember?
Mine still plays the thunder sound.
Oh, dude, I haven't experienced that in
Yeah, you
got
to go now, to Primo Publix. You're going to the wrong Publix.
Well, I was about to say, your Publix is lacking some upgrades, I feel like.
Mine?
Yeah, because the Publix that I have next to my house has all the bells and whistles, and I walk into yours occasionally. I'm like, this just feels like an old school
it's
Publix.
Like Kroger
still.
In here.
Boy. Sorry, we got an OG. You know what I love about Publix? You're never gonna grab a Publix cart and have a wheel busted on it.
They do seem
they
to
do,
have some
they
high
do
quality
rotate
maintenance.
Their carts.
I mean,
more
just pristine.
Mm-hmm. Publix and Target do a
Bubbles would
job.
Go crazy with those carts.
Yeah, you're just missing me, man.
Publix and Target do a pretty good job with their carts. All right. But yeah, no, that was the take on that. But let's map out like what we think the best and worst case scenarios are for Saturday, because I feel like you can kind of understand what the game will look like from a whole. If you want to just say Georgia comes in and wins by 3 points, that's fine, yeah. But there's analysis and nuances within that. So what would you say is the best case scenario on Saturday, in your opinion? Because I've got a list that I'll go through.
Georgia scores 48 points without a single screen pass thrown.
That's the best case scenario for like someone on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or for the
Which is me.
Yeah.
Me and my Discord sanity. I would rather that be the case. No struggles, no three and outs in the first half at all. Just run it down their damn throat. 12 play scoring drives with a couple of 5 play scoring drives cuz Talon Taylor got loose or Craig Dangerous got loose. And then, not a single screen pass thrown. Unless it goes for a 75-yard touchdown. That's the only time screen passes are allowed to be called. You heard it here first.
I believe the screen pass was what got Georgia's offense off the mat in 2023 with Mekhi Muse.
You're not allowed to speak with real sanity and analysis with regards to play call. You're not.
That's fair.
Not allowed to do that on a microphone.
My bad.
I think best case scenario for this game would be like first quarter and like half of the second quarter, you get a good look at some of your playmakers from the wide receiver and tight end room. Like, let's say Craig Dangerous has a big play. We'll say Sakovi White-Helton makes a couple guys miss on a couple routes of his. He shows his yak ability. London Humphreys is all reliable still at his position. Talon Taylor gets in, has an explosive play. You just get a good base for what your wide receiver room is. You don't leave with any concerns. You have 21 points on the board at that point. And then midway through the second quarter, all the way till the end of the game, you're just handing it off to Nate, Chauncey, Bo Walker, Dwight Phillips, and you run your way to a victory. And you're just a nice, comfortable, no issues win, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that the best case scenario is all the worries and all the questions you have get positive answers. You don't get your worries.
Boys, new Gunner Stockton primo photo just dropped.
Yeah, that one's nice.
Go on, zoom that one in. Georgia's media department, absolutely elite. If you don't think they're ready for the heat on Saturday, you're wrong. That is a gas photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
With all the sweat coming off man's.
I'm sure his media representation will post that for him on Instagram.
I would imagine that's not a layered football.
No, probably
that
not.
Ball was ripped, son.
And, he's probably ripping that one.
Golly, I love their media department. Mm-hmm. They're so freaking good.
They are. They're the best. They don't miss.
They don't. Even in the heat of battle, they don't miss.
Nope. No. So what I was saying, the best.
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do it again.
That's on me, man.
That's all right. The best case scenario, in my opinion, is you get a lot of the questions and worries you have answered. Like, ideally, first drive of the game, first third down is a third and two, and Bo Walker gives you a massive run up the middle, like a 7 or 8 yard burst up the middle to go, okay, there's the third down back. We need someone to get his third and short gain. Bo Walker just proved that to us. Ideally, you even get a situation where maybe we've got a holding penalty or maybe something happens to where Georgia gets caught in a third and long, like a third and, hey, we got to throw the ball here, and you get a conversion on that, whether it's to Isaiah Canyon or to London Humphreys, things like that where I think all of the worries and all the questions you have, you walk away on Saturday going, okay, that got answered. I think, like you said, having some explosives drawn in there. I think if it's a methodical, hey, we just walk the ball down for 3 12 play drives and it's 21-0 at halftime, some fans are going to look at that and go, we don't have enough explosives. There's not enough here. Because there are going to be some explosives drawn up. Being able to hit on those. Because that's what I felt like in the Marshall game last year, which was week one. Georgia, yeah, they walked it down. They scored touchdowns. You had a couple of Dwight Phillips touchdowns. The most explosive play was the screen play to Zachariah Branch late in the third. By the time the game was really spoken for, and there wasn't a lot going on. I think if you can get an explosive out of the way early and get fans to go, oh, so-and-so, whether it's Craig Dangerous or Landon Roland or whatever player, oh, he's the guy here. So stuff like that is best-case scenario, in my opinion.
What do you think best-case scenario for QB2 reps are? Like, I'm talking about pass attempts when I say reps, by the way. I'm not saying how many minutes or how many snaps. I'm talking about how many pass attempts for QB2, which I assume is going to be Ryan Pugliese.
It's going to be 12. By the way, I know scrimmages didn't go all that well for any of the quarterbacks, it sounded like, but Ryan has struggled at both G-Day appearances that we've had in front of the masses, and it didn't look all that great in the scrimmages. But it sounded like the last 2 weeks of practice have been absolutely phenomenal from Ryan Pugliese. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
12 to 15 cuts at it. And I think you have – like, they – this might be the first football game where they're up 35-0 and the backup quarterback actually gets to throw the football. And it might even be a discussion that Kirby has with the other coach at halftime somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you, I promise you. But we have to see what this kid is because we don't have Gunner Stockton coming back next year. And if we don't get this kid reps in a real life situation and don't see him apply concepts, then we're gonna be doing a disservice to our football team coming into January.
Mm.
What's up?
Saturday at about 6 p.m., we get up to about a 15 to 20% chance of rain. Let me map this out for you, too. We get to the third quarter, midway through the fourth. We get to the third quarter. It ends, and Kirby Smart goes, oh, man, you know, it's hot outside. Look at these clouds. Ryan Puglisi's already had two drives, and he's throwing the football. What are the odds we get to where it's like, hey, you know, fourth quarter, let's just keep this a running clock. Let's get the boys out of here safe.
Oh,
a running clock, rain or not. It's going to happen,
that could
I would
be
imagine.
A strong possibility.
Yeah, like, hey, we got storms moving in. I just checked the radar. Like, this will be a very short fourth quarter, I think. And we don't do unless it doesn't happen. I don't know if we're going to do one for this game, but that's one of my unless it doesn't happen. This game will be cut short by something.
No, I do think this will be a year in some of these tomato can football games where you need to be okay running it up a little bit, because we can't just go out there and have him hand the ball off.
Yeah.
We have to see if this is going to be the future of our football team before we have to make a decision on it in January. And if we're making a decision on it in January, we really have to start scouting on it in October.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in December. And we need to start making phone calls late in December.
And
we're going to be preparing for a national title run at that point, ideally. So this is a real situation where the guy's got to go get reps.
And this isn't one of these seasons either where you get two at the beginning of the year and you get a third one late in the year. It's like these first 2 weeks feel like your only guaranteed opportunities, or what you hope are your guaranteed opportunities, to get a true look at Ryan Puglisi as the QB2. And like, if that's going to be a surefire thing for you in January, like, you feel like you have to have that answered almost in September from a games perspective.
I had one source tell me, like, we have to see it, the lights stay on during big light scenarios. But the last 2 weeks, I've been told verbatim, it's hard for us at this point not to believe that this kid is the future with regards to talking about Puglisi.
Wow.
But it has to carry over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dude's done good stuff in practice for a long time, and then we go out there in scrimmages, and it's like deer in headlights type situation. We gotta see this kid play ball at a high level.
And I mean, this goes to what every great Georgia quarterback has had. When the light, like Gunnar Stockton, Stetson Bennett, when you need the most, when the lights are the brightest, they have performed well. Like
Fountain Bada. I'm just kidding.
No.
Ooh, no.
No.
Complete opposite, actually.
Very much the opposite. Very much a dark time in the Georgia football fandom. That was a very – I didn't even
– Also, to get back to the seriousness, not to cut you off on your elite Fountain Bada analysis here, but if we believe that that stuff can carry over, we can run Gunner like we're supposed to offensively.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any fear about having to play the backup if we miss a game because – we have a banged up left shoulder or something like that. So those are legitimate things that I'm looking forward to from a getting to watch this football game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. From a defensive standpoint, is there even an opportunity where you have a opportunity for a best case scenario? Because everything I've ever seen from when the FCS teams come out and they know that they are a lamb to the slaughter, it's, all right, we're just going to run the ball. We're going to sit on it. Oh. We're going to try to get as quickly out of here as possible, get our, you know, cash our check and say thank you very much.
That was the Tennessee Tech special. I think it was last season where that happened, where I think they had like three pass attempts on the first two drives. And after that, it was just, we're just going to run the ball up the middle for the rest of this football game. We're going to chew clock and we're just going to get the heck out of here. Like, that is exactly what Tennessee Tech did last year. So I would imagine it's kind of similar to that. Good work day for the run defense. Get those guys locked in.
Boys, the leading rusher for Tennessee State against Jacksonville State, or Jackson State, was their quarterback.
Yeah, their quarterback ran around a lot.
And look, he plays good ball. If they're going to have any hopes in conference play this year, they better get that kid out of there alive. I don't know if that's the recipe this weekend. You can't give this kid 15 carries against Georgia's defense.
God, no.
He'll be in trouble.
And I think that's kind of an underrated aspect of these games that people don't really talk about. Like, the team you're playing also has a full season ahead of them, and they have to protect their assets just as much as you have to protect yours.
Far more meaningful football for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, who cares if Georgia beats you by 70? You've got to get out of there alive to go play the rest of your conference slate.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. So, like, it is kind of two teams that are, for different reasons, going to be, you know, brother-in-lawing each other. So the opportunities to have perfect scenarios and all that might not be bountiful. Like, you might not see three sacks in this game. You might not see all the plays and the turnovers that you're hoping to see, because, like, it's two college football teams that, let's be honest, aren't playing their full 100% potential because they are afraid of messing something up because it's an insignificant matchup for the two of them. So I get it.
You're frustrated.
Yeah. From now, I mean, it's like, you know, gas money that I get out of my Twitter account, but now Twitter wants to pay me through X money.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they said I saw people getting these X credit cards or debit cards or whatever. Cards.
This shit is ridiculous.
It has your name on it, at least.
I don't give a damn.
I guess for worst case scenario for this football game, other than losing, like a world where that happens,
that would be
where Tennessee State kicks a field goal on the first drive and a meteor hits the stadium and the game is called at that point. Like, other than that happening, I guess worst case scenario would be you get like a UMass game reincarnated here, mm-hmm. where you can't stop the run. Tennessee State is running all over you. You don't lose the football game, but they put up like 21 points. You still put up like 38. It's not a very satisfying first win of the season.
I mean, we've seen instances where the quote-unquote worst-case scenario is very possible. It happened against UMass in 24. I would say now there were a lot of weather circumstances in that game, but it happened against Austin Peay last year.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is, you know, a turnover here, a three and out there, a penalty there. We've got a third and long that we don't convert. And all of a sudden, like, we've wasted an entire quarter and we've scored no points. And now everyone's booing. Now everyone's throwing their hands up. It's bench Gunner Stockton. It's fire Mike Bobo. Kirby Smart's not going to win us another title. This team sucks. Like, that is a very reasonable and I don't want to say likely, but it's possible to happen in this, on Saturday. The heat is going to be bad, and I know that they train for the heat. I know that they're going to be ready for it. It's going to be hot on Saturday. There are going to be mistakes made. There are going to be first game jitters, all of those things. The worst case scenario for me, like, it's possible, and to speak on, you know, backups, what if Ryan Puglisi gets out there, or Ryan Montgomery, or whoever it is, and yeah, the moment is just too big. They do wet down their legs. They turtle shell in, and they don't look like an elite quarterback. They don't look like a viable backup. They don't look like the, you know, the future of this program. Then you automatically start wondering, okay, what can we do about Gunner Stock, and how can we protect him? So there's a lot of worst-case scenarios here that I feel like you could kind of dive into.
I mean, it's happened a few times, too. Like, go back to the Kent State game. I think it was 2022 when that happened, where Ladd McConkey has a muff punt, get the ball right back. I think that final score was something like 39-22.
Yeah, they gave up an explosive play early in that game. Like, just mistake after mistake that are, like, razor-thin margins lose you a football game. But in games like these, it kind of creates panic in the fan base, and oh my god! And
it costs you opportunities for the young guys on your roster as well.
100%,
absolutely. So
yeah, I mean, games like this, worst case scenarios, you have lapses in judgment, or guys aren't locked in. They think, it's a game we don't necessarily have to worry about, and things can go. They don't really unravel completely, obviously, but it just feels like we didn't take care of business, despite the fact that we added another win to the column. We didn't necessarily do what we were supposed to do today because we didn't get the most out of our opportunities and we didn't make the most out of this game for ourselves.
Speaking of making the most of opportunities, I think you should head over to our friends on SeatGeek to utilize our code and see what you can do for a discount on this game. I can't imagine tickets are going to be overly expensive. They'll be even cheaper with our friends over at SeatGeek. Brooks, do you have the rest of that read in front of you?
Somewhere around here. I think you got the read over there, actually. We love our friends at SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app in the entire universe. Over more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek. I got it right here. We're good. Over 30,000 or 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and much, much more. College football is back. The MLB playoffs are right around the corner. And NFL and NBA seasons are not too far behind. Jonathan, is my app up and ready?
It sure is.
Let's head over to SeatGeek right now and check out, guys. It's probably going to be the cheapest ticket available all year long. $32 right now on SeatGeek.
Wow.
$32 right now on SeatGeek. And you can sit up in them bleeds. But how about this? How about this one right here? Row 5, seat 15 on the shade side of this stadium for $68. I would sprint to that right now on SeatGeek, because you're really going to get that for like $61.50 with our promo code FilmGuy10. Get you 10% off any ticket ready over there for you today. Click the link in the description of this video, download the app, and have the code automatically applied to your account so you can use it later. Heck with that. Use it now. Use it right now. I want to see that ticket purchased by the end of this show. That's what I want to see. Mm. I want to see that ticket gone up off the map. Can't even find it.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you ain't never going to sit that low to the field for $68 on the shade side of that
stadium. No, you're not.
No, and especially not for a 3:30 kick.
I mean, that's perfect. Hey. Like, if you're one of those people where these are one of the games that you make, like, that's the one game you make for the season, have a nice family day out of it, take the wife and kids with you. I mean, that's a great opportunity to get on SeatGeek and
use
the discount
code. It's also a pristine area to have the boys run right by you as they go back up to the press box.
Oh, yes, it is about where we run up the steps.
Right, those steps right there where all the media goes right back up so you can holler at the boys while they're running back up to the press box.
It is true. That's true. That's a good point.
That's an elite ticket right there. I didn't think you would ever be able to sit right there in San Francisco.
Yeah, usually those aren't available even for these games,
no,
I feel like.
No, even like student tickets, you can't get those that cheap anymore. Like people reselling them. That doesn't happen.
What's next?
Well, we talked about how realistically this will be a game that Georgia handles and Georgia wins handily, which means that there's going to be a lot of players that will get playing time, that will have opportunities in this game. Who are some players who we think will have the most massive opportunities, the most bountiful opportunities to take advantage of on Saturday? I'll start it off with Dwight Phillips. I know that we've kind of talked about him a little bit already on this show, and he's been brought up in pressers. I feel like that's a guy where you can absolutely cement a role. Explosive running backs aren't just guys that you can just plug and play or hey, we need explosive running back. That can be anyone. If Dwight Phillips is able to show that he is able to get, you know, 3 carries for 40 yards, something like that where, hey, if we need someone just to take the top off or we need to find a way to get him an explosive, Dwight Phillips can certainly cement himself as that. He might have already done so on the roster, but Saturday will be a massive opportunity for that.
I'm going to go with Ekene Ogboko for this one, especially like think of it in this perspective. Ernest Green and Juan Gasser are going to be the starting tackles, but especially for a guy like Ernest, not a whole lot of need to see a lot of Ernest Green on Saturday.
Yeah, honestly, get him a drive.
Yeah.
Maybe get him a lather in pregame, get him a drive, and get him out of there.
Yeah, so a guy
bubble
like –
bubble wrap that dude.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Like, don't need to see hardly any of Ernest Green on Saturday, so that means Ekene Ogboko is going to get a lot of opportunities. Ja Jackson, I'm sure, will get some opportunity as well. Huge opportunity for those two guys. But really, I would say Ekene to, like, cement himself into this rotation of offensive linemen, talking travel squad, like – kind of solidify your role on this offensive lineman. Despite the fact that you're not listed as a starter, there's some opportunities to be had on Saturday.
Yeah, you can certainly nab some more playing time in a bigger role. I mean, we've talked about this before. They rotate offensive linemen more than anything. I know that people kind of want to, you know, oh, the starting five has been the same starting five for X number of games. That's not really how Georgia rolls. If you can map out earning more playing time and becoming a more rotational player, certainly a big opportunity for that. Next one I have is Thomas Blackshear, and I think that any opportunity on this roster is, or any wide receiver on this roster is going to have massive opportunities and is going to have plenty of space to make plays or to take advantage of that time. Thomas Blackshear is a guy that I feel like hasn't really been talked about this offseason. We've heard a lot of CJ Wiley. We've heard of Isaiah Canyon.
Christian Kirby, he has on patreon.com/BrooksAustin. He was the most recent nug.
He sure was.
Yeah.
They think this guy's going to have a year.
And that's why I have him as an opportunity guy because, you know, the people behind closed doors and guys like us, we hear about it, but the national media space is a lot of like, what can CJ Wiley become? What is this Isaiah Canyon guy? Can London Humphreys become an even more reliable player for that? Thomas Blackshear has a really big opportunity to become the next, you know, named or fresh face within that Georgia wide receiver. I know he's not a freshman, but you get what I'm saying.
I think it's
– sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
You know what his high school – I might have said this already. Do you know who – he went to Calvary Day High School down there in Savannah. It's the other private school in Savannah. It's Savannah Christian and Calvary Day. You know who his high school coaches compared him to?
It was George Pickens, wasn't it?
It was George Pickens. Mm. Both in play style and personality. Yeah, a little bit of a wild child.
Well, that can
at least in high school. He's obviously toned it down a little bit in college.
Hey, as long as demon time gets turned on during the games only – I'm cool with it.
Ski mask up, baby. Let's go.
Demon time within reason. Let's not throw anyone into a brick wall.
No need to get suspended for the first half of the SEC championship game.
I don't know. The water bottle was kind of funny.
It was funny.
It was funny.
It was very funny. And I remember looking at that being like, man, I love George
Pickens. Did he really just do that?
Did he get a flag for it, though?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. So.
100%.
A flag and a – hey, come over here. You're going to sit your ass next to me.
Damn it, George.
I think we even got a, what are we, 4 years old from Kirby after that presser, too?
Yeah.
He was asking, like, what are we, 4 years old? It's ridiculous.
I wish I could tell. One of these days, put it in the promises on Discord. I'll tell the story about the best hot mic moment ever in Kirby Smart history.
Oh, yes. Good one.
It involves George Pickens' freshman year at, leading up to the Baylor game.
Lovely.
It's the hottest hot mic of all time from Kirby Smart.
I think considering recent events, this player now has a massive opportunity facing him on Saturday, and that would be Josh Horton. Mentioned Josh Horton and Jordan Hall as two guys now where the doors kind of open up for them to have big years and need them to have big years all of a sudden. Now, Jordan Hall, it's all about, are we healthy? Are we ready to go? When are we full ready to go? Is it by conference play? We'll see about that. But Josh Horton is now a guy that we know is healthy. He is going to play. Seems like he might be one of the in the starting rotation now with McLeod off the roster. Massive day for him potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a guy that played at Langston Hughes and now has his teammates that he went against in high school on the other side on his own roster every day during practice. Keep your friends close, enemies toaster.
Toaster?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that one before.
But no, Horton is definitely a guy who even I don't like if this was a game where they're playing an SEC opponent, his opportunity just became that much more massive, like we talked about yesterday with the departure of Xavier McLeod. So you're absolutely right. This one's obvious. This one is the case for any time when you play an FCS opponent. The backup quarterback, Ryan. And you know, I think it's going to be Puglisi, but I don't want to anoint anyone yet, even though sources are indicating that. This will probably be his biggest opportunity to kind of get free reign in the offense and to go do point, score points. I think he got a lot of burn against Kentucky. We saw a little bit of it against Marshall, but not really anything. Like, this is going to be a game where I think you get 3 to 4 drives out of Ryan Puglisi of truly running the offense, truly trying to make things happen, trying to get explosive downfield within reason, obviously. They're not going to open up any sneaky concepts.
Yeah, if you get up big enough in this football game, you can get two birds stoned at once, and you can get them both out there and get them opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think for that reason that they might, Georgia's, you know, ones and Mike Bobo might try to kind of, hey, let's get up and let's get quick on these guys. Let's not even play around or try to be efficient. Let's just be explosive as possible.
That'd be ideal.
Well, you'd have to do it like just beating them to a man. You're not going to be dumping any creative clips
in this football game.
You're just going to have to be – yeah, drive the football down the field enough to actually get them with straight four verts.
And if your offensive line is as good as it sounds like they're going to be this year, running the ball and maybe getting some explosive runs should not be a problem on Saturday. Maybe you can get some big runs out of Chauncey and Nate, and then immediately after that, Gunner punches it into the end zone from one of his wide receivers or tight ends. Like, that's the ideal path here to jump out on them early.
Like, the way I think about the 2021 UAB game for, you know, obviously that's the iconic Stetson Bennett return and the Brock Bowers kind of a rival party, but they open that game up with a double move to Jermaine Burton that goes for 6. Like, first play of the game offensively is a touchdown for them. You might kind of see some stuff like that where, hey, we're going to try to get some early things, like simple routes. Like, a double move is a double move. That's not a thing that you're hiding in your arsenal. But also,
would you go Hugo or Slugo?
I was always a Slugo guy.
Yeah.
So,
not a huge slant team.
No,
they haven't been the last several years.
They don't run him a ton. So, I mean, maybe
a good bit of hitches, though.
Yep,
they're more out and
Hugo
ups.
Hugo, it is.
They're more out and ups than anything.
That's true. So out and ups for number two.
Yeah, so that's what you
post
might
occupy the safety.
Mm-hmm. You might get that. So I think you'll see more of that. Honestly, you might even get some opportunities with that with Ryan Puglisi of like, hey, let's just throw this kid a bone and see if we can get him an explosive 55-yard touchdown to not only excite the fan base but to give him confidence and us confidence because we really need a QB2 in here.
You know, J.J. Hane's got a bigger role now.
Yeah.
I think he was going to have a massive role this year anyways, but especially on third downs, I could see, you know, Elijah Griffin, J.J. Hane, maybe a little Zayden Walker and Chris Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Juicy.
I twitchy.
Like it. Very yeah. Twitchy.
Do we think Elijah Griffin comes off the field in meaningful moments at all this year?
No, he better not.
I hope not.
Better
if
not.
He does, if he does, something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
That dude needs to be playing as many snaps as possible, in my opinion, outside of this weekend and next weekend. Once we get past these two games, 90 needs to be on the field a lot this year. I'm sure he will be. Now, I know we talked about earlier in the show how maybe Tennessee State doesn't throw the ball a whole lot in this one. They're just trying to run the clock, chew clock. But despite that, I would still say that Braylon Conley has a great opportunity on Saturday. Big game for him because it sounds like he is going to be the third option in the cornerback room, the USC transfer.
Mm-hmm.
throw him out there. I don't know who when he'll rotate. I'm sure it'll be somewhat early in the game that we get a look at Conley. Really solidify yourself on that a cornerback three spot and lock it down for you heading into conference play. Because, you know, over the past few years, the cornerback battles have really treaded throughout the year. I mean, it's been to the Florida game. It's been past the midpoint of the season until we figure things out. Like, it would just be nice. Like, you know who your two guys are. You know DeMelo and Ellis are your two starters, but it would be really nice to just know who your tight three are at corner past this game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been something that they don't mind throwing cornerback three out with the ones and seeing what – I mean, they did it to Ellis Robinson in the Clemson game pretty early. Now, I understand that he got playing time much later in that back end of the game, but there were drives where Ellis Robinson's out there with the ones. You're like, oh, he's already arrived. Like, we saw this last year with DeMelo Jones when he was kind of cornerback three of like, hey – this guy is going to be integral in this defense, and ultimately he continued to grow his role. So, yeah, don't be surprised if you look on the field and go, wait a minute, did Braylon Conley beat out DeMelo Jones, or why is Ellis Robinson on the field? They will do that, so he will absolutely have massive opportunities, not even just from a playing time standpoint, but from a going with the one standpoint.
Look, I know that the intel is all over Braylon Conley, and Braylon Conley has played a lot of college football already, coming over from USC, and Dante's got a lot of rapport with him, having recruited him at USC. Do not sleep on Jonte Gilbert. No,
he played phenomenal in the spring.
Do not sleep on that kid. He looks just like DeMelo did when DeMelo was this young, where, oh, my God, look how long that kid is. Look how fast he is. You can't get on top of this guy. Like, the dude can play some ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a pretty early pull on Ellison and DeMelo.
As it should
definitely
be.
Yeah, I think certainly it's pretty early pull on those guys. It'll be early pull on KJ.
Oh, that's another great point, too. Like, KJ, one of these guys that doesn't need to play much. We have so many bodies in the safety room. I'm sure he'll get a good look at all
of
those guys.
Here we go, boys. Both of y'all play. Let's see who wants to win this job.
Absolutely.
KJ, come sit by me. Call the defense.
Yeah, that was – I mean, I wanted to put one of those names on for massive opportunities, but it's really everyone. Like, Rayshon Dinkins, Zion Branch. Like, take your pick and just go through that list. Anyone and everyone in that room is going to get meaningful snaps.
Dinks damn near entered, slept on, not talked about enough.
We said it yesterday.
So weird.
We were talking about how you went from being in the month of January like, all right, we know KJ and Rayshon. Those are the dudes in the safety room in regards to, like, we know who the star is, safety. It's just figuring out, like, who else is going to play at safety. And now it's – well, you say three names before you get to Rayshon, it feels like. And it's not his own fault or anything like that. It's just Georgia got better at that position, and he's amongst those names of why they got better at that position.
Yeah, and he's not one of the new flashy names. Like, everyone wants to talk about Jamar Lee Riddle. Everyone wants to talk about the guys that have been added. Everyone wants to talk about, like, oh, my goodness, you know, all these – Khalil Barnes, even though he's a nickel player. But those are the guys that are taking up people's space and mind. Like, Rayshon Dinkins put some of the best tape at the nickel position last year in the two games he played.
Ryan's got it right in the chat right here. It went from who can be the second safety to, hey, survival of the fitness. Let's see who can go out there and actually win this job.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
is it just your goal now to see how many of these you can get?
No,
the show?
My goal is to see how many I can slip by you guys without you noticing. I got one so far.
Well, that one I was like, he just said the wrong word, and I was like, no, he's doing his bit right now. He's got a bit going, and he's going to drive it home.
Goodness gracious.
You'll get the hank of it eventually.
The last one I have as a player who, and we know he's going to be on a pitch count, as Kirby Smart calls it, a pitch count. Chris Cole is probably not going to play a ton in this game, especially at the inside backer position. I think this is a real big opportunity for a guy like Justin Williams to get a lot of snaps. Who did you think I was going to say?
It's the Terrell Foster football game. Terrell Foster's going to lead the team in tackles on Saturday.
You want to know who everybody's going to be talking about? Some Nick Abrams. Just Nick Abrams. Might be a little clueless, but it doesn't matter.
Hey, who's 42?
Mm-hmm.
Who's 42 out there?
Who's this linebacker running around in a somewhat goofy number, but he looks beautiful? It looks picture perfect.
Chat did ask a pretty interesting and valid question. Do we see number 12 on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
Like, I would assume probably not. I would assume.
Probably one of those, coach's decision.
I would assume this is a. Yeah, listen, we're gonna hold you out, and I don't know if you have any intel on this. I don't know if you have anything that you can share.
I'm smiling because there used to be one guy that would send that press box that would just have the binoculars out as soon as they come out of the locker room, and he's like, "Oh, so and so's not there. You write it up, write it up."
Mm.
I don't have anything to write up anymore. I'll just be up there with my thoughts.
My thoughts.
That'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just not sitting doing there. Any work.
Aren't you supposed to be working? I am working. I'm this watching
my,
the football
this,
game.
This is my job now.
This is what I do.
I'm working on Monday.
Mm-hmm. I'm just
but
enjoying.
I'm collecting my thoughts right now.
I'm collecting data.
Break a legal pad out. Oh man. I used to just envy the hell out of those guys, mm-hmm. and now I am one of those guys.
Yeah, the legal pad now is just let me open up an empty Google Doc and jot my thoughts down as the game goes on.
I used to laugh so hard when I'd be sitting in the press box, and I was just a one-man band at that time, and I would be doing live updates, live tweeting, writing halftime articles. Oh, crap, so-and-so just got injured. And I'm over there just like a meth head, just going freaking crazy. And then Pat Forty's over there with his legal pad, and he's got one red marker and one blue marker, and he just jots down notes he has about Georgia in red and notes he has about Florida in blue. And he'd write a nice little post-game recap, 500 words, and see y'all.
Yeah, I mean, game days when we were writing, sometimes the game would be over and you felt like you just held your breath for the last 3 hours because it was just – like, to give you guys an inside look of what it was, like, we had injury shells prep for any moment a player went down with an injury. We had someone on live updates. We had someone getting ready for the halftime breakdown. If something major happened in the middle of a game, like someone got, like, a quarterback's pulled, we had to
have
that
pop
ready.
Your head into Discord, make sure that's not
burning making
down.
Sure that we're doing our admin duties in Discord, making sure people are behaving, getting ready for the final score update, getting ready for any big stories that Kirby might talk about. Like, that's all happening while the game is happening. And so you're looking at the play, then you're going, I mean, it was crazy.
You forgot three major things.
Oh, yeah, the good, the bad,
loser.
The ugly.
Yeah, good, bad, and ugly. Like, bro.
Oh, we have.
And then the drive home, you got to finish it all off.
Yeah.
There was,
man, how quickly our lives have changed. Thanks, ChatGPT and AI.
Yes. Yeah, they took all that away. But no, literally, we probably from a 24-hour period from a Friday night at whatever PM to early Sunday morning when the game ends, like that, those 30 hours, we probably wrote 40 articles.
Oh, in the heyday, absolutely.
Game day was minimum 16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Didn't even talk about 16. Pregame. It was college game day picks,
depth chart,
final injury report. Like, all, I mean, you did wake
final,
up, get up, it's game day,
line.
Final betting line movements. I mean, guys,
we had it all.
I mean, that literally was your life 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Last year.
Things change.
So we were doing on game days, and now just it might prop my feet up a little bit.
Look at us.
You didn't hear me say that. I won't do that. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
You and Connor Riley can have a hot dog eating competition now.
I might do my one hot dog at halftime. That's about it.
I've never had a hot dog halftime at halftime. Half the time when I'm in the press box, they don't have them.
It's usually the noon game.
I feel like half the time I get to the press box and sit down and. The group over there to our right is always like, did you hear, there's no hot dogs this time. Like, they're freaking out about it. Like, like you would think it's being treated with the same way as if Gunnar Stockton slipped off the bus and snapped his ankle. Like, they're like, did you guys hear this? Like, there's no hot dogs. Like, what are we going to do here?
Now the new game day staple in the press box is a nice box of Cane's chicken tenders with some soggy potato chips that have been sitting out for about 30 minutes before you eat it. Mm. I'll take it. I like some good chicken tenders, but that's a new staple, it seems like.
I am excited, though, because it will make allow you to watch the football game. It will allow you to enjoy the in-between stuff of that. Like,
actually feel like you can retain it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could see the game when I was on the sideline the last couple of years, but when I was in the press box doing y'all's job, I'd get done with the game. I'd be like, what the fuck just
happened? Game was a blur.
What just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it very much.
You remember some key moments and like the big plays, obviously, but like it goes by so quickly too. Mm-hmm. Like you look up and you're like, oh my, the first quarter's over. I got to start getting ready for halftime. And then halftime's over. And then you're like, oh God, like you never have a moment of break. And while all that's going on, especially with our job now and being a national show, you also kind of have to pay attention to the three other games. Like, I'll never forget the game when Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. And that was Georgia was playing a no one. It was a game that Georgia had handled, but you're still having to do all those writing things. All the while, everyone in the press box is like, do you see Alabama? Like, what's going on here? So, stuff like that is certainly where things are different there.
The topic about what are some reasons Georgia fans should be. Or no, what should you expect? What do we have left? There's one thing I wanted to talk about.
Well, I did want to ask you this question. Yes. I think someone in chat brought it up. They mentioned Jay Lamar and Nick Peel. I know we'll see Jay Lamar. Do you think that we'll see any Nick Peel action?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm not allowed to say that. I'll put that in Patreon.
Ooh.
Some of these things you're not allowed to say. Mm-hmm. I've been told, like, you're not allowed to say that on your channel. Because we don't want to sound alarms, but we'll sound them on Patreon. Patreon.com/Brooks Austin. Somebody asked if the local hour is available on Patreon. No, we put it up on podcasts, though.
Sure do.
Patreon is for all of our things I'm not allowed to say in front of massive audiences, secret intel, and general access to me and the boys. So there is that. Yeah, Trey Shields will probably get some playing time, but guys, I love Josh Pate, and I know why people are asking that, because if Josh says something on the world's biggest college football platform, everybody runs to us, especially if it's about Georgia, and it's like, hey, have you heard about Trey Shields? Yeah, here's what I've heard about Trey Shields. Trey Shields played one season of high school football, and he looks good enough to maybe one day play for Georgia. Is that day Saturday? Probably, because they're going to beat a tomato can. But is he going to be in the meaningful lineup this year? No, I hope not. Very much so to the Jeremy Bell buzz we've heard in previous years. Like, dude, if this guy's playing for you, you had tragic misses everywhere else, or worse, injuries everywhere else. Trey's going to be a good football player at Georgia. Is he in the meaningful lineup this year? Probably not, is my opinion on that, and my sourced opinion on that. So, you know, you hear different things than other people hear, but and take one or the other. But that my intel on that is that they think they hit a home run from a standpoint of, just like the Nick Peel situation, we took a kid that nobody else knew about in 2026. How is that possible?
Right.
We're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
It's kind of the deal there.
Yeah.
About
getting
the in-state recruiting.
Like, if you hear, like, from those two guys, well, Nick Peel and Trey Shields, like, just hearing the fact that, yeah, they're good football players, win. Automatic win for Georgia. No matter if they see the field past that, if Georgia thinks they're a good football player, they're going to help them out at practice. They give a great scout team look. Like, that is an absolute win for those situations.
Yeah. And I understand from a fan's perspective of, like, especially with Georgia, where a guy like Stetson Bennett goes under the radar, a guy like Ladd McConkey, some of the best Georgia players in the Kirby Smart era have been quote-unquote unknown or slept on guys. So I get the idea of people being like, oh, is this the next one? Is this that? Is this the next player that's going to be great for Georgia that no one knew about? And maybe, but I don't think that's going to take place right now this season. Like, Ladd McConkey was on the roster in 2020. Like, people forget about that. Like, Ladd McConkey was a player in 2020. Did not pop until really late 2021. Like, you didn't really start hearing about Ladd McConkey until, like, the back end and you know, the SEC championship, really. Or the Auburn game was the first coming out party for that. So it's not like you're going to see young guys or guys under the radar making immediate impacts on Saturday, I don't think.
What are you guys most excited for on Saturday? Because this is going to feel a little weird for me. And I'm glad to be going to Baton Rouge, and that's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's an environment that I've never been in, and it's going to be absolutely wild, 6:30 local time out there. But it's going to feel a little bit weird not walking into Sanford Stadium on Saturday.
I'm just excited to be in Sanford Stadium and for it to be a Georgia football game. Like, that is such a cliche thing, but when you're a fan of this, when you grew up, when you went to school during this area, there's a sense of nostalgia that also hits you when doing this, because it's so finite and you only get to do this, you know, so many times out of the year. Like, realistically, we're only going to do this 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to have a between the hedges moment that many times. So you savor it a little more, and every time it comes back, you get a little bit of nostalgia and happiness and all of the above. So,
I mean, the moment that hits the hardest for me for, like, the first game of the year every time, and, like, the battle hymn is great. Mm-hmm. Like, all the pregame rituals are fantastic. But when the PA announcer announces the team when they break through the banner, and it's like that entire buildup, and they run onto the field, like, that's, like, the, like, first moment of, like, it is here, watching legitimate football inside Sanford Stadium. Like, even if it wasn't Sanford Stadium and I wasn't a former student, like, just the initial jolt of energy you get from, like, I'm about to watch football.
My favorite moment of every game day is the video montage when Larry Munson comes on there and goes,
ah, the battle hymn, yes.
No, it's the two wonderful words, two beautiful words, go Dogs,
yeah.
And then the whole stands.
Hymn. It's part of the battle hymn.
Oh, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's
the best. Dude. That always hits, too.
Gooses
that
every
out
time.
Of veins.
Yeah, and hearing the first crowd pop from a big play, like, even though we're in an enclosed press box, like, still just hearing it. Like,
do we get a frat row shows up late and leaves early situation?
Oh, they'll definitely show up late.
Yeah,
probably leave early.
This Well, student section will be popping, though.
Yeah, student section, they're going to be there early. They'll pack it out.
We'll talk about that tomorrow because I have some advice for those people.
Some advice? Does it include hydration?
Yes. Okay. We'll talk about that.
Please hydrate.
All right. Hope you enjoyed it tonight, guys. Hope you hit that thumbs up button on your way out. We will be back tomorrow with a couple of uploads and some live shows. I got a Jake Butt interview at 9 a.m. that you'll get somewhere around noon, I would imagine, tomorrow. It's a great week of content here. We're halfway through it, and the best is yet to come. I love you. Most importantly, Jesus loves you. We'll see you next time.